Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
He did that in one take. He just did it live right there, I bet. Sean Keeler, yes, he's with the Denver Post. We're talking Nuggets trade deadline and all that. But first, Keeler, if your team's not in it or the team you're covering is not in the Super Bowl, what is your favorite part about the actual Super Bowl? Is it the game? Is that where you're going, or is it the party? What is it?
No, have you seen my mugshot? It's the food. In fact, let's clarify, it's the free food. It's the buffet of wherever I'm going if I've got a party to go to. I don't think I do this year. I got to be honest, I don't love Super Bowl parties as much as I actually have one guilty playoff tradition. Is a former coworker of mine tends to like to get people together to watch the championship game doubleheader. I actually like those. Like, that is 6 hours of football and pizza blitz. Bliss. I'm into that.
I was talking about this earlier. I love the regular season. I love the build-up. I love the race. I love the playoffs. But right around championship weekend, I start to get sad. The Super Bowl's great and all, but that's it. The quest is over. We've got the two teams set. So actually, the Super Bowl is, strangely enough, unless the Broncos are in it, is my least favorite game outside of like the Hall of Fame game or preseason game two or whatever.
Yeah, it's not about the game. It's about everything else. I've done nickel betting. I've done all this stuff with it. It's fine. If you got people who are into it, it's good. But, there's a lot of hubris in saying this. It's a lot better being there. I know you've had a chance to do it. And I think I've covered five or six. Well, then you go to a Super Bowl party after that. You're like, I wonder what's going on here. I wonder if the Today Show's there. you do get a little, and that's very high and mighty. But it's true when you've been there. It's quite an experience.
What is it like that during that week? How often? I was asking this question earlier to myself, and I obviously couldn't answer it. How often are the players out there talking to the media? When does that shut off? Because you always see clips for like the first few days. They're out there. They're getting questions from everybody. The Today Show, TMZ, all that stuff.
Yeah.
How do they do that every day until like Wednesday, or what's that like?
Yeah, it's pretty open until about Wednesday. Teams get in Sunday, media day Monday. It's really not for the media at all, by the way. It's for bad TV shows to do dumb stuff. I hated media day.
Oh, I bet.
Then today, I did. Yeah, print, you hate media day. Tuesday and Wednesday are podium. That's more writers' days. It's table, print. Each team does like 2 hour staggered sessions at different places. Traditionally, now they may have moved it around since the pandemic, but Tuesday, Wednesday were good gathering days. Thursday, then I seem to recall you might have gotten one. Like, it kind of peters down like a pyramid going up. Like, you get fewer and fewer as we get closer to the day. You may get a Mahomes on a Thursday or what have you, for an example. And then by Friday, it's completely cut off. The pool reporters are at practice all the time, and that's it. So you're really working to gather Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe some Sunday night if they do some stuff. And then in between, you've got everybody who's appearing or is kind of adjunct to the game has some kind of news event at the media site. Like, that's where you go. I went to the Bruce Springsteen news conference and the Paul McCartney news conference and the Who news conference. And that's fun for tell your grandkids you were in the room, but you're not ever writing anything, so it's just kind of there. So it's Radio Row. It's kind of, you know what? It's kind of like the Rocky Mountain Showdown this last year in September all the time. Like, that's what that experience. That was the Super Bowl of 3 days in a day, and that's a compliment to CU and to CSU and to ESPN and Fox bringing the party. But it's like that, but for a week. Like, anyone who went there and saw, the Dueling Studio shows, and, there's The Rock, and there's this famous person, and is that pretty? And you're like, yeah, that's that famous person, because this is their place to be. It was like Boulder, but like for a week, if that makes sense.
Well, that would be a lot for my brain to take, man. I don't.
It is a lot.
And again, it's, unless you're getting Marshawn Lynch or bulletin board material type stuff, it's all kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I was listening to Mahomes, and I respect him for being humble, but when he's asked about passing up Tom Brady, you know what would juice that up a little bit. If he's like, you know, let's face it, I'm the best there is, and that's all there is to it, and I will pass on. Like, throw some WWF stuff or WWE stuff in there, man. That'll get the people going.
That's not in his programming. I don't think he's going to run that through. But you know what? And the scary thing is, and certainly nobody in Broncos country hopes this, God, he could get there. I mean, when you're on that trajectory, if they do get this game, and part of me thinks they will, it's weird. It's because the Niners, you didn't want to go into a Super Bowl breakdown, but I'll give it to you anyway.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know, the Niners, those skill pieces are so amazing. You know, Broncos West. That's what we wish. The Niners are what we wish the Broncos look like and should have looked like, frankly. You know, I'm like, Christian McCaffrey's my fourth. You know, what, George Kittle's my fourth option? What? You know, how good is this group?
Yeah.
But then you've got, it's kind of the opposite, then where you've got Mahomes having to lift everybody else. And I worry that the worst for him is over, although I think the Niners are so good. The quarterback in that game, I just don't know what I'm going to get from Brock Purdy. You know what I mean? I know what I'm going to get from Mahomes, if that makes sense.
No, Brock Purdy,
I don't know.
Right, I'm with you. That's the biggest thing about the Niners, and I know he's earned a lot of respect and all of it, but I think a lot of us are still waiting for the bottom to fall out on this guy. And you know what? For his sake, I hope he continues to prove everybody wrong, but I think that there is that skepticism about him right now. Is he really that guy? And I guess, you know, at least for one game, we're going to find out.
I would say that if you put Mahomes on the Niners just to play fun fantasy football, that might be the best offense we've ever seen.
Oh,
with
yeah.
No disrespect to Colts and Rams and Manning teams. And think about that, because that's how good those skill guys are. I mean, I'm just blown away by the tools that Purdy has to work with and what Kyle Shanahan's kind of built over there. So I think if anybody can give the Chiefs a battle, it's Broncos West. But I don't know. This game is about that one guy, isn't it? And it's not the tight end. It's that guy playing quarterback.
No, he is. I mean, he's on his way. There's no question about it. Love him or hate him, he's on his way. Coming up, we got the NBA trade deadline. And it kind of hurts that the Nuggets don't have any games this week until Thursday, because you're seeing Peyton Watson start to elevate his game. You're seeing Christian Brown. Did the lights go on for him? Maybe, but you're still banking on that. If you don't make many moves, you're banking on Peyton Watson essentially replacing Bruce Brown's production. You're banking on Christian Brown being the guy he was in the playoffs last year, and then Reggie Jackson being the guy. You're probably going to just go three deep there on your bench. Do you see the Nuggets doing anything before the trade deadline?
I think you nailed it in summing it up. I think the odds, and others have probably talked to you about this privately and on air, I think the odds are against it. Not because they don't want to, just the way the system, they've kind of, you know, built a team where that starting five, which is the NBA's best, either aesthetically, statistically, whatever you want, has such investment in it financially that you're really limited on kind of what else you could do around the other side. And basically, in baseball, they call the stars and scrubs, and that's not fair to the bench unit. I think it's not as extreme as that, but you do have to maximize guys with a low cap number, basically. I mean, so yeah, it is kind of stars and scrubs to some degree financially. And the trouble with where the Nuggets are at with the cap number is, and my colleague Bennett Durando has had to kind of hit the ground running on this, and NBA math is, you know, everybody's pro-contract system and their CBAs are pretty tricky. The NBAs, I think, are the trickiest. I think that is trigonometry level stuff. You got to know what you're doing. Calculus level, you got to know what you're doing. But you know, matching this and skirt this and the percentage this. And it's been kind of wrinkled and played with and nudged over the years so many times to keep stars in their cities, to be fair. And that's why this thing is so, you know, the Larry Bird rule is there, because Boston needs to keep Larry Bird. That's, you know, it's the thing, you know, that's the idea of the principle of this thing. And so it's tricky when you have four Larry Birds in the case of the Nuggets.
Yeah.
You want to make this work out with those max contracts, or three technically, because of MPJs. And it makes them hard to move. What they did with the poison pill deal was Ignaji. You have to match this money. It makes for great fun algorithms on the internet when you try to do this yourself, but it's really, really hard if you're Calvin Booth. So I don't envy him in that regard. I mean, it's sort of a, not quite, it's more half glass full than it is half empty, but you've got the best starting five, but you're really limited because of that and because of the rules in what you can go and do and try to find matches to go do. I wouldn't shock me if there is a, like a Thomas Bryant, DeAndre Jordan type of move where there's a veteran where they can kind of shore up something just for safety's sake. But I don't know that you're going to see a big name move, and I don't know that you're going to see a big trade, because of the Najee, it becomes really hard to match guys, and even his salary is hard to match. So I'm not expecting a splash. I'm not sure we'll get much of a ripple, but I know they're going to try to shore that up on the back end and just get some depth, if nothing else. I mean, they know the good thing for them, and the good and bad, mostly good, is they know that this is a long haul. And they've got to figure out guys that can, A, help them finish out the regular season depth-wise, one, which is what Thomas Bryant ultimately did, because he didn't play much in the playoffs. It turned out that that was a rest move to rest the starters. And then figuring out if you have somebody out there that helps you for May and June, because that's what you're playing for and that's what it's about.
What are the chances we could see a Monte Morris maybe get released and then, you know, the Nuggets pick him up? Can they afford him? What does that look like? And what would that mean for Reggie Jackson? I know you guys put that out in the Denver Post, you know, Monte Morris or Reggie Jackson. Listen, the fan part of me is like, Monte Morris, although Reggie Jackson with his Colorado roots is pretty cool. But,
yeah, there's no bad answer of that. We kind of laughed when we put that together, like, the answer might be none of the above if you had a choice, you know.
Yeah, Bruce Brown. Somebody, how about that? That would be
Bruce Brown. The answer to every question about the Nuggets is Bruce Brown.
It is 100%.
But he's not coming back, and you're just pretty much rooting for him not to be a Laker, because they're going to have to make some moves in L.A. And maybe be slightly different when the Nuggets go. I think Nuggets are there on Thursday, right? I think they might look slightly different. You know, you've got the time you trade LeBron question, because you are the Kings. Not Sacramento, the real NBA Kings. Everyone is chasing you. So it's another one of those things where there's going to be a blockbuster somewhere, someplace else, that's like, what can we do to take out the Nuggets? And that's going to be interesting to see, because that ultimately did not work out for either the Timberwolves or the Suns. And so it's kind of fun to watch that shake out. But with Morris, yeah, I mean, maybe a release is a better way to make that work, but I think his number and Reggie's number are tricky to get under at the same time. Again, they're a little bit cap limited too that way, and then you've got a question of where does he, is it an either or, because really they're kind of the same dude and what they want to do. Reggie's a better scorer, a better shooter. Morris is a far better distributor and a more pure point guy that way. What do you need more in that case? I think, honestly, people have just said scoring, and that probably tilts it Reggie Jackson's way if you're stuck having to pick between the two. But, again, the answer to everything is always Bruce Brown, and you're not going to get that. And I don't think there's not a free agent out there or something on the wire that is going to replicate all the things that Brucey B could do for you. And that's tricky. I think, to your point that you made at the start, I think they're – honestly, it's more likely that they're hoping that Peyton Watson's learning curve keeps accelerating, and that because of his length, again, you want long guys who can also cover guards, to oversimplify. So that's Braun to some degree, but it's really Watson. And if he keeps making that ascent, then you've got a more, air quotes, cost-controlled guy that can hopefully replicate that defensively. Because really, again, the one thing that's constant for the Nuggets is it's kind of about defenders in the playoffs, not so much offense. Offense, they've got plenty of, and they know where they're going to get it, health permitting, and the health looks good. It's finding role defenders and role shooters. As I've written and said, they need about two KCBs. They could, you know, you can just clone, go to the Dolly Farm and clone two KCBs, and then you have one you start, and then another two, or even one more you can bring off the bench. That solves your problems, and or Brucey B, but they don't have access to that science yet.
Well, if you're cloning people, let's just go ahead and clone Joker. Let's just do that like four or five. Just run that through.
Then no one will shoot because they'll all pass the ball.
This is a lot of passing out there.
That would be a comedy thing. I'd be like, you shoot, I don't want to shoot.
Just like, hep, 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 hep. No actual shots there.
Right.
All right, last point for you. Here's the thing, Sean. Think about this, man. If the Nuggets win again and Peyton Watson comes on strong and he does produce like Brucey B, you know who we're thinking for this? It's whoever's brainchild it was to put Peyton Watson in all the hotel commercials with the Joker. Spending quality time with Nikola Jokic and the ponies could lead to another championship.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah, that's maybe it was written in the stars or on Madison Avenue, one of the two. Those are great spots. I'm just glad to see Joker get some commercial love, and I'm glad he agreed to do it. And it's one of those things where I'm not a sizzle guy. I'm a steak guy. Literally, again, back to fat Joker. but if there's somebody who I can't believe we didn't get into the whole Keeler Dion thing today. I'm glad we didn't. Mm. But there's an example of like Dion and Joker might be the most interesting, most talked about people in this market that aren't Broncos, frankly, as you know, and yet they're so different. Like one is like too much sizzle and not enough steak, Buffs, and the other is so much steak and no sizzle, Jokic. Like the truth is in the middle there. So I'm always happy to if there's time, Nikola, do more commercials. He won't, but do more of that because I think the country needs to see what a funny, engaging when he wants to. But funny guy this person is, and I'm glad he's got a chance. I'm glad that Watson got to do it with him. Good for him.
Keeler, I got to go, man. I appreciate you, though. And your headline for that, at least on Twitter, about Deion Sanders being a false prophet, the Bruce Lee of BS. I got mad respect for you because you're going into those waters with the crazy primetime fans. And I don't know that many do it better than you on that side. So I got a lot of respect for you, but went up a little bit more with that. You don't care. You're not scared of anything, man.
It's me and the cult. Me and the cult, baby. We're in. We're into it deep. So months of that to come. I can't wait.
I love it. Sean, appreciate you, my man. And we'll look to catch up with you soon, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Take care, buddy.
All right. Sean Keeler, Denver Post. Yeah, Angel. So you and I, like, at the beginning of the year last year, we're like, reporters are scared to confront him and all that. Well, Keeler, I know Keeler. He goes to this stuff. He doesn't write articles behind his little keyboard and then not go. He shows up. He is there. February 4th, Deion Sanders is the Bruce Lee of BS. Harold Hill and designer shades. But the Colorado Buffs in the 2024 playoffs, I'll have whatever Coach Prime is smoking. Deion Sanders is a false prophet. You probably respect that. And you probably were like, heck yeah, man, I'm all in on that.
I mean, if I was a journalism professor, I'd probably give that headline, That's a good example of what, how to get your point across.
Yeah.
Good analogies, good metaphors.
Oh, he's good, dude.
You walk that line of cursing without having to curse.
I like the comments. Have you been paying attention? These stories are getting so tired, I don't even click to read them beyond the bashing headlines anymore. Be better. I love
you
the...
You clicked on it to
yeah,
comment.
Yeah, you clicked to
it.
Comment, bro. And sorry, 2024, let's get rid of this phrase. Be better. Get rid of it. I hate it. Can't stand it. Let's throw it in the trash. 11:52 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.